Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Ben Flanagan of AL.com. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films.
Ben, you and I both saw Denis Villeneuve's Arrival. What do you think? Oh, spoilers.
I liked it a lot.
Spoilers.
Yeah,
from the get-go. Sorry.
100%
there's no way
spoiler.
To talk about it.
Yeah. Impossible. So I'm leaving Arrival. I went and saw it with my dad on Sunday. And I'm walking out, and I see an old film professor that we had at the University of Alabama, Jeremy Butler. And
nice.
I hadn't seen him in a while, and he told me that he had seen Arrival 2. And he was like, so how are things? And I said, hey, they're good. You know, he says, so I see that you had a baby recently. And I said, yeah, I have a nine-month-old baby girl. So that movie was devastating.
Yes.
And, yeah, so, like, and that's where the conversation ended, you know, before, you know, some talk about.
Well, you crumpled over crying and just kind of lurched away, and he just.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going
to. And went to go see Trolls.
Yeah, probably should. And I might come away crying after that, too. But look, it's impossible to talk about this without spoiling it because, I mean, you have no idea, like, what. You see the trailer, you know the story. It's all about the mystery. And it's all about you have no idea what's going to happen, what's going on. It's all about finally seeing what they've been hiding from us the whole time. And so once we finally get there, which is relatively early in the movie when we finally encounter these aliens, as Amy Adams says in the movie. Am I the only one, like, is it crazy to say aliens, or am I the only one not afraid to say aliens here? That's what we're dealing with. And we finally meet them, right? And without getting into, you know, specifics about what this is about, there are these, you know, 12 alien spaceships that enter the Earth's atmosphere at 12 different parts of the world, and in respective governments in those parts of the world have no idea why they're here, clearly, and they're trying to figure it out. And so the American government enlists the help of Amy Adams, who is, a linguistics professor, a language expert, to communicate with them and try to figure out just why they're here. I mean, that's kind of the gist of it, right? And you know, that's sort of like standard blockbuster alien stuff. You know, it's not anything we haven't seen before. So my big question going into this then was, what's going to separate this? Like, what makes this so special? Why are people so excited about it? Why did this director and why do these actors want to make this movie that the subject matter just feels so familiar to me? And it feels like, you know, how can we do an alien movie differently? And the whole point here is that it's not really an alien movie. I mean, it is, and it's science fiction, to be sure, and the science fiction specifically informs the story and informs the character in her development. But this is, to me, this is a movie about being a parent, and probably more specifically about being a mom. And it's a mom-daughter movie, and so there's a sort of a layer to it that I'll never understand. And I recommended my wife see it at some point, even though, again, I go back to the word devastating, because it is, because it's about tragedy, and it's about how we face tragedy, how we meet that adversity head-on, and choices that we can make, whether or not we can avoid tragedy or whether or not we would re-experience it over and over, and for me, that is the beauty of this movie, exploring that very difficult theme in terms of being a parent, losing a child, in the question that it asks of its main character, and simultaneously asks me as the viewer. I found myself wrestling with it sort of halfway through as I sort of began to understand what they were, you know, what was coming and what they were going for. And afterwards, it's just really stuck with me because, again, I've got a baby girl, and you do too, who turns 2 years old today as we're talking, I believe. And
yep.
It just hit me on such a gut level, and maybe, you know, maybe some people would argue, well, that's too easy. But it's, for me, as I was watching it, it was not easy. It's there's an extreme depth to this movie that for me made this character so compelling in terms of the choices that she makes and what she would eventually go through. Because, I mean, and I know I'm probably rambling here, but the movie tricks you into thinking that this character has already gone through something. And the trick is that she has yet to go through it. And when you learn that, it takes on a whole new meaning and reaches an entirely different level. And for me, as a moviegoer and as a parent, it really sort of gut punched me.
Yeah, it worked pretty well on me too. I mean, within, like you said, it's my daughter's second birthday last night. When we were deciding to go see it, my wife was going to come with me, but at the last minute, she was like, "You know what? I'm really tired. We had a long weekend." She didn't have a great night's sleep the night before, and you know, she thought, "I'll just go home and catch the movie another time." And within like 30 seconds of me sitting in the theater, I was like, "Oh, thank God." Thank God she's not here for this, because the level of exhaustion that we're at right now and everything, and with the 2-year-old birthday today, I was like, she wouldn't make it. This would be War Horse all over again, you know, where it's just the whole movie she's crying and hating my guts for bringing her. But yeah, I mean, it's from the get go, it's a devastating opening to a movie. And and the way that it all comes together is pretty masterful. I mean, for some reason, I'm at arm's length from the movie. I really liked it a lot too, and I have a feeling this could be one of those where I work through stuff as I think about it, or maybe watch it again or talk about it. To me, it is at arm's length for me just because it goes for that so early. You know, you show a loving mother losing her child within the opening of a movie, and you take not a shortcut. I don't want to, you know, be derogatory, but you buy a lot of sympathy and emotional fragility early on. And so I kind of had my guard up from then on. And I think the movie responsibly, you know, handles this devastating, tragic opening. And well, I guess closing is maybe an appropriate term. And for me, what really blew me away about the movie the most was its emphasis on dialogue and how important it is to communicate, and how words are important. And in the world that we're living in right now, November 15th, 2016, it's just a thought that I think more people need to have, is that, you know, words are powerful, words have implications, words have consequences. And I think it's a movie that interestingly posits how language changes our physiology. You know, it changes the way our brains work. It made me think of I'm roughly bilingual. I was raised speaking German, and then I learned English when I was about 4 or 5, and I thought about, like, how did that actually impact the way my brain built itself, you know, as I was learning these things. So it's a really thought-provoking and important movie, and I think it does what science fiction should do. You know, it takes our world as we have it, and then it shows it to us the way that it could be, or you know, if we're able to go through these blunt lessons, you know, it shows us how we could change, how we could improve. Again, I mean, I think there's a few moments in the movie where it fell a little bit flat for me for whatever reason, or maybe where I felt like the filmmaker, he it's like, we got it, and he kept kind of going back to it. But then again, when the lights of the movie came up, and I looked around to make sure nobody saw what my face looked like, I noticed a guy behind me stood up, and he said, "That movie was confusing," which I was like, really? Like, that's not, you know, I felt like it was very clearly laid out, and maybe I'm not giving enough credit to the filmmaker for laying it out as clearly as he could, since it could be so. It is a non-linear movie in many ways. So yeah, it's a movie that had some rough patches for me, but at the end of the day, it's I think it's an important movie, and it's a really really great achievement from a director that, you know, I've only seen Sicario, but from what I heard of Prisoners, is an enemy is a pretty dark dude. You know, he dwells on what some might call the nihilistic aspects of humanity. But here he has a movie that is entirely affirming. You know, it affirms life, and I think that's remarkable, and especially in the time that we're living in.
Definitely, and yeah, you know, this is. I'm not trying to sit here and tell you like this is a perfect movie. I just think it because again, like there are different layers to it in terms of it's a science fiction alien invasion / encounter movie where it's like you don't really know what the aliens are doing, right? Like, so are they hostile? Are they friendly? And that's sort of like the big question in terms of the point of view of the government and eventually of when you whittle it down to the characters played by Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner, who is a scientist on board for the encounter. But, for me, it's like it's a big alien encounter blockbuster just disguising a deeply personal character study. You know, like this movie's just all about the Amy Adams character and everything she's either gone through or will go through. And to me, that's where it totally works. And like you said, it could be a career-defining performance for her. And that's she's the star of the show. And the character's really the star of the show. And again, like the questions that she faced, like what I found really interesting early on. So like what you think that she is a woman who has had a baby in the past, who grew up to be a teenager and died of a terminal illness, and that she is a woman who lost a child and is grieving and as the alien invasion is happening. And what I found really interesting just from like a visual and character standpoint is the entire world is captivated by this as we would be if this happened. Like the whole world would shut down and we would want to know what's going on. And this character is relatively indifferent to it. And what I found interesting is when I first thought that we were flashing back to this this daughter who passed away, it sort of informed me that this woman is so just riddled with grief that she doesn't care about this phenomenon that is happening on Earth right now. And so when you sort of learn, and I think that's what they were trying to get you to think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then, like, when you learn, like, the truth later on, that's when you start scratching your head about, well, what was wrong with her? You know, like, what was going on with the character? And I think that there are little things here and there where that sort of suggests that she's just kind of depressed. And she's alone, and she's single, and there's talk about being single and not having anybody in your life. And that's something that has obviously cut her to her core. And affected the way she lives and interacts with people, and so that makes the character really interesting. But then, I mean, like not to dwell on this, but this is the crux of the movie. This is the main idea here. When you learn the truth, you know, about this character and about the even bigger question, you learn that. And again, we're getting into the spoilers here. You learn that she has yet to have that baby, and she will have that baby. And that she will have an amazing life, and she will divorce her husband and the father of the child, and the baby will eventually die. So at that point, you know that, you know, through in terms of the, how it connects to the aliens, the whole idea is they come and they give the world their language that sort of like allows them to see the future. And there's a really interesting and perhaps slightly confusing for the gentleman that, you know, set above you component to it, where it's like it language and times are sort of one, and it's up to Amy Adams and the government and everybody to figure out how to utilize it and how to use it to their benefit, and how nations can, you know, come together and sort of regroup as one world, and you know that's great, but you know specifically it's about. She knows that she's going to have this baby, and she knows that this baby's going to die one day. Her child is going to die. And she has the choice of, do I want to have the baby anyway? Is it still worth it to have a child and to experience that level of happiness when I know that is finite, and there's going to be an ending, and I'm going to lose that child, and I'm going to be sad for the rest of my life. And for me, that, what an amazing concept in the choice that she makes, the decision to go through with it, it was amazing. And I think adding to it, she presents that to who will one day become her husband, the Jeremy Renner character, and he tells her, in something she tells her daughter, that you made the wrong choice, which I guess means you shouldn't have had this baby. We shouldn't have had the kid after he asked her, do you want to make a baby, if you knew that she was going to die. And that, and eventually he leaves them because he can't live with that thought or that reality that is soon to come. I mean, is that something that, did that rock you the same way it rocked me? Is that something you still think about now, just, you know, less than 24 hours after seeing it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it didn't really occur to me until this morning. We're full on spoilers now. Like, one of the last lines in the movie is Jeremy Renner embracing Amy Adams, and he flat out asks her, do you want to make a baby? In the theater, I was like, well, that's a pretty, okay. It just seemed like a weird thing for one person to say to another person. And then eventually, you know, they cut away and they cut back and she says yes, and the movie ends. It didn't really occur to me until we started this conversation what the relevance of her answer to that question was, which softens the blow of that weird line to begin with. But yeah, I mean, on an emotional level, I wasn't processing it, honestly. I was processing it more as a mystery movie and thinking, oh, okay, so this is the key to that and that and this and this. So I was seeing it way more as a construction than I was this kind of emotional, relational thing. I mean, all that stuff was clicking with me, but it wasn't overwhelming me, I guess, if I'm being honest with myself. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you brought up something earlier that just now struck me that, yeah, so why was she so disconnected from humanity, it seemed like, before the alien attack, or not attack, before the alien contact, if she hadn't lost a daughter? And it occurs to me, like, yeah, she was looking at language as this sterile study. You know, it was her job. It was what she did. But it wasn't until she went through this experience and it literally changed her that she saw the value of it. And there's a scene in the movie where, in the moment, it's like it's Amy Adams explaining sentence structure to us, you know, on a whiteboard. And you think, I kind of thought, well, this is really, we're spending time on basic grammar. But it emphasizes, you know, the necessity to think nonlinearly to deconstruct sentence and the way we communicate with one another. You know, just a simple sentence has to be thought about in nonlinear ways and in ways where, you know, we must consider the implication before we can take the action and all these things. So I feel like, for me, the whole movie is functioning more as an intelligent, more of an exercise of intelligence than of emotion, but you know, maybe that emotion will seep in on future viewings. Were you as fascinated as me with the construction, or was it mainly a character thing for you?
Character thing. Like, for me, like, no, everything you're saying makes total sense. And again, like, the importance of language, the importance of words, and obviously, for me, it just all comes back to her relationship with her daughter and eventually her relationship with her soon-to-be estranged husband in Jeremy Renner, and it takes a while to get there, but there's a crazy, whatever you want to call it, at the point of, you know, when you saw it, flash forward, flash back, when she is talking to her daughter's asking her if she can help her figure out a word that...
Right, yeah.
She can't quite figure it out, and Amy Adams eventually comes up with it, and the way that she comes up with it is pretty amazing. And again, like, that too, it's just a moment where words and language are important, how we communicate with each other, how we talk to each other, the things we say and the impact that they have, how careful you have to be, because especially to your child, you know, because everything that you say matters to your child and can have an eternal on them. So you have to be careful with like where you leave off with them in terms of what you say to them about their father, about them themselves. And it's like, to me, the movie explores that too. And that resonated for me and makes me think like now, even though my daughter's, you know, 9 months old, almost 10 months old, I mean, everything that I say now probably matters. You know, she's developing and learning language. And so I have a big responsibility here in terms of how I teach her that and how I talk to her and the things that I say that will linger forever in a way. So that for me, and, you know, maybe I'm making it a little too personal in terms of how I relate to it.
No,
but,
I don't.
You know, the timing of it, you know, it certainly affected me. But, for me, like, I was able to sort of mine my way through the science fiction alien movie guise of it and find sort of what I think is at core in terms of, again, yes, this character study. But, yeah, the language and the construction that you're talking about here, it all plays into it. But I'm curious, I mean, in terms of the alien stuff, did that work for you? Like, I mean, because I've always had a thing where it's like, I think it's hilarious, the concept of the aliens look fake to me, you know, or like the aliens, like,
right.
I don't like the design of the aliens. Like, how do you know that you don't like the design of the aliens or that
right.
they look fake? We haven't seen aliens before. So, like, any new design of an alien that somebody comes up with is completely fair because it's never been something we've experienced before outside of movies that did it before that we like.
Right, and that's what the conversation turns into is, well, it's not like as cool as a xenomorph, you know, or E.T. or whatever other creatures that we've seen. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the design of the aliens themselves was good. I mean, it needed to be totally not humanoid, you know, for us to really have to work hard to bridge the gap. And it needed to be at first cold and unapproachable and seemingly indifferent. Because that's those assumptions that we make about other people are what lead us to speak and interact with other people in hateful ways, is the belief that they're so much different and unrelated to us. So they needed to set that up, and I feel like, you know, making these big lizard fists with octopus tentacles, I think that's a great way to do it. And they look scary, and you're scared of them when they first, because they're so big and they're so alien. I think for me,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but they I could not think of the Simpsons aliens.
Kodos
Yeah.
Well, there's even two of them, you know. wow, that's somebody needs to like edit the trailer to just put those guys on there. But yeah, I mean that's they took all of the tropes about nasty big aliens, you know, lizard skin and tentacles and all these things and no eyes, like the xenomorph has no eyes and. Takes all the empathy away from these things so that we really have to work to get them. So all of that worked really well for me. What didn't quite work for me was some of the more atmospheric stuff. A lot of the, I think what really didn't work for me, there's a moment where she kind of goes into their environment, and they share, information with her. And it's like this smoky, foggy atmosphere, and her hair, like gravity isn't working, so her hair is kind of like waving around like it's underwater or something. But the whole thing to me just felt like, I don't know, I could not get past the artifice of the CGI smoke and the whatever effects were on her hair. That was the only part of me where I that thing happened to me that I hate. I hate it when it happens to me because I don't want to be one of those people that only sees film through whether I buy it or not. But I have to be honest with myself and say that was the only moment in the movie where the design and the effects and everything like that just were completely overwhelming me. Did you have any of the same troubles?
No, not as much with that. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I had the same problem with Forrest Whitaker's accent.
quick fun trivia bit. I was at the beginning of the movie. I was sitting in front of some older ladies that were talking through the trailers, and I had to decide, like, are they going to keep talking through the movie? And do I need to move now? And I thought, no, they'll stop talking. Normal people stop talking. They didn't stop talking. And I think it was right around when one of them said, "That's Forrest Whitaker." That's when I just went ahead and got, stood up and walked like two rows down and sat a little further away from them, said I didn't have to hear them. So I was relieved to learn that it was Forrest Whitaker, and I'm glad that you were able to see that without somebody telling you that's who it was.
No, but that's happened to me before, too, where actors have appeared on screen and somebody behind me has said, "That's the actor." And it's like, well, yeah, that's true.
That's why we're all here.
Yeah, and
these are all actors, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, and so, but yeah, the Forrest Whitaker, like, I thought his first scene was excellent. Like, his first scene with Amy Adams.
Yeah, they just kind of walked in.
Yeah, he was great in that scene. And then the next time we see and hear him, he's using a Boston accent out of nowhere. Like, I don't think he's using the same accent from one scene to the next. And I was like, what? Like,
maybe it's a character thing for him. He's like testing her since she's a linguist.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe, you know? Forrest Whitaker. I've seen Out of the Furnace, too, where he uses a strange accent. And maybe it's just Forrest Whitaker shouldn't do accents. I don't know. Like, he's great, and he has an amazing presence. But when he's, like, trying funky voice things, I'm like, whoa, Forrest, man. Like, what's going on with you, man? Like, do you feel the same way? Because...
It didn't hit me. It didn't. I noticed there was something going on, and I did feel like it was stronger in some scenes than other, but it didn't take me out of it.
He did just for a minute, but I mean, he's just such a compelling actor that I forgot about it eventually. But
well,
yeah,
have
how
you
about
heard
Michael Stuhlbarg popping up?
Have you heard Forrest Whitaker's Mississippi accent that he puts on for Rogue One? You should probably prepare yourself for that.
Space Mississippi.
His Bayou, his Cajun accent that he puts on for Rogue One. No, Stuhlbarg was great. He's looking terrible. I hope he's taking care of himself. He seems like he's done something since A Serious Man, but I think that's probably part of the character too. You know, as this guy,
the haircut was like, pretty bad too.
Yeah, he just really puts himself through the ringer.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to go for, like, a worse version of the bad Tom Hanks Da Vinci Code haircut is what I'm going for here. If I was the director, I'd be like, okay, do it.
Yeah, he totally, I mean, he totally conveys that bureaucrat guy, you know, that spends so much time in an office in slacks and a shirt and just kind of consumes and behaves however he needs to behave just to get himself to the end of the day because he's so stressed out. And you read it on his face, but you can't read it in his wardrobe, kind of.
Yeah, you're right, like government contrarian, you know, it's like the South Park really always nails the archetype and did, like, in episode, I can't remember which episode specifically, but it's like the military dude who doesn't believe in scientists, and he's like, oh, really, Mr. Scientist? You know, like the scientist who's like... giving, like, valuable information that could, like, actually help them make progress. He sort of plays that role, but he does it well because, I mean, he's just good. So, like, all the performances are really good. I mean, they've got the pedigree here, and the director is just interesting just in terms of the trajectory that he's taking, because you're right. I mean, he's made a lot of dark stuff so far in terms of child abduction movie and a drug cartel drama, a thriller, and you know, now coming up, who knows what his Blade Runner sequel is going to be like. And for this, I mean, it's about the loss of a child, and it's about grieving, but I think, you know, in the midst of that, it takes on a very hopeful tone, and it's about valuing life, and it's about embracing that challenge and giving life a chance, even if you know the outcome of it, because life is beautiful and having a child is beautiful and it's not something you should run away from because to me that's the heart of the movie and that's what worked on a visceral level for me, even if some of the other stuff is a little wonky here and there. I think for the most part, though, it's a really well-made movie. I mean, it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
And the guy is a really skillful storyteller and director, and he's obviously somebody who loves mystery and embraces that aspect of it, and whether or not all of his mystery and all of his movies pays off for everybody, that's probably different for different people. But for me, it worked for the most part with Arrival.
Yeah, me too. It really did. And, you know, I think the best way I can probably sum up my reaction is I reacted the way that Jeremy Renner does off screen. You know, is at the beginning of the movie says, hey, here's a movie where this baby, you see the baby and the childhood, and then she dies. Like, you in, bro? And for me, I was like, I guess I'm in because I'm here. But, you know, it did put me at a distance emotionally. And I'd be hesitant to not bring up a comparison that I've seen at least one other place to Interstellar. I think that the two movies have a lot in common in terms of, you know, relying on this non-linear relationship between a parent and a daughter to save humanity. Obviously, they're both thoughtful science fiction movies, but I feel like understanding that movie helps me understand my reaction to this one a little bit, in that that film started with the problem, and it started with the science, and then eventually, you know, it turns into this open-hearted love letter to parenthood. And, you know, that movie came out the week before my daughter was born, and then I saw it again, I think, shortly after. So that movie was all wrapped up in my relationship to my kid. I guess I don't have anything constructive to say about it, but do you see the comparison there, and do you kind of, do these two movies work similarly for you?
I definitely see the comparison in ways they definitely do, just in terms of you're talking about interplanetary travel and it's science fiction, and you're talking about sort of a manipulation and different understanding of time and the way that it works in our personal trajectories and how we understand it and how that applies to our lives and parenting. So, yeah, I mean, there are definite similarities, but, you know, they're totally two completely different experiences. I mean, they're two completely different filmmakers, and so that means different tones and just the ways in which they tell their stories. So, yeah, I can definitely separate the two. I can also tell you I like Interstellar better, you know, and I don't mean to, like, compare one to the other and say I like one more than the other, but, you know, I prefer that movie, but that doesn't mean I like Arrival any less, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I just wanted to kind of think about it from that structural standpoint. But and then before we close, I'd be remiss. I haven't talked about Amy Adams at all. This is a great performance, maybe the best leading performance from an actress this year that I've seen. It's fantastic, and so much of the movie is predicated on, you know, on her and the emotional arc that she goes through, the journey that she goes through from a totally cold and detached person to somebody that is. In that final scene where she's kind of dancing around with the wine glass with Jeremy Renner, where she is fully engaged with humanity there, you know, and that's a tremendous arc and a wonderful arc. And this may be the highlight of her career so far, which obviously is far from over.
Yeah, she's great. And again, like, I had a big question going into it. Like, my big question was, what's going to separate this from these other movies just like it? And I was just so glad to find, like, what was wrapped up inside, you know, for the you know, like, about halfway through, I started to kind of unwrap it just a little bit. I didn't get it. It's not like I'm saying, like, I knew Bruce Willis was dead the whole time or anything. Like, I didn't get it from the get-go. But I think when she's talking to her daughter and the daughter is asking her that question, like, what's the word? And she's like, it's more of a science-y word. And she says, well, your dad is a scientist. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Your dad had the science-y questions. And at that point, like, because they had made such a point to, you know, to say that Jeremy Renner, he's a scientist, and science is important to him, and science is the first language or something like that. Like, that's when I kind of thought to myself, okay, well, Jeremy Renner's probably her dad. And like, Jeremy Renner will come into this at some point. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to happen, but something weird is going on here. So that was fun. Like, that, to me, like, that was the fun of the movie, just trying to figure out, you know, in these clues that it keeps dropping here and there. But once it all came to light, it was just, to me, it definitely clicked.
Yeah, I think I was catching on right around the same time. Yeah, I
want to be the guy that you know, talks about how he was so far ahead of the movie. I do feel like the reveal eventually for him that he was, you know, the dad in the past or in the future, in those flash forwards. I feel like that was kind of like, I was like, yeah, we got it. Get to it. You know, if you want to show him, you're fine to show him.
Yeah, it's like come in focus. Where it's just like, yeah, Jeremy Renner, got it.
Yeah, are we still dancing around this? But yeah, I mean, that's just a choice, you know, a directorial choice that, you know, it's fine.
No. So let me ask you real quick though, like, do you, so this pretty quickly is like, and we can, you know, speak to this on an Oscar seasoning episode with Craig soon, but a lot of people quickly peg this as like a surefire shoe-in for like a Best Picture nomination and multiple Oscar nominations. Do you, like, just having just watched it, do you get that feeling? Like, is this something that the Academy and that a lot of people can or will embrace?
I mean, again, I feel like Interstellar is the touchstone here. And no, I don't think it's a sure thing. I think Oscar voters are still traditionally weirded out by movies with creatures in them. And that movie had no creature. Interstellar had no creatures in it and still didn't get a ton of love. It got some, if I recall. But, yeah, I don't think it's a shoe-in. I think Amy Adams may be, but I don't know if the movie as a whole is. I hope so.
Yeah, I think science fiction, like you said, kind of weirds them out, weirds people out. And science fiction just never, I mean, Gravity may be an exception, but that was, you know, even though it wasn't on Earth, it sort of steeped in the real world, you know?
Right.
And so I don't think it can go the distance, I'll say. I mean, I think it has a lot to say, and it's a really well-made movie. And I mean, it, you know, did fairly well at the box office this weekend, but if I had to make the call right now, I don't think it wins Best Picture. I mean, I'm not ruling out a nomination, but because it's really well liked by critics, not ruling out a nomination, but I don't think it wins.
Yeah, I think if you're just looking at patterns, I think in a movie year that has La La Land and to a lesser likelihood Loving and Moonlight, I think that. I think that it's a little bit more of a long shot for a win. But, you know, with 10 nominees, I could see it totally getting nominated.
Definitely. And that's what's most important.
Absolutely. Like, why are we even talking about it if it's not getting Oscar buzz? What a waste of time that would be.
Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.